Greetings. This is Pastor David Bass at New Geneva Orthodox Presbyterian Church with a moment of truth, where we challenge you to think through an important issue of life and faith. And today, I can think of no issue more challenging than that about which the United States of America could rightfully boast in the long stretch of world history, and that is the peaceful transition of power every 4 years. That has now gone away. Dear listeners, since 1792, that's 229 years, this has held true, the idea of the peaceful transition of power. It has held true through invasion, like the War of 1812, or a fractious civil war, the election of Abraham Lincoln to a second term in 1864, and two world wars, not to mention periods of great civil strife, like the assassinations of John Fitzgerald Kennedy, or Robert F. Kennedy, or Martin Luther King Jr. assassinated all, or the riots and chaos in the streets of the 60s over race and the Vietnam War, tumultuous times in which I grew up. Through it all, we have held orderly elections with the peaceful, nonviolent relinquishment of power by one administration to another, or an incoming administration, or the smooth transition of a current president to a second term. But that long, distinguished tradition is disappearing. I am writing this on the evening of Wednesday, January 6th, when we know that an innocent woman, a veteran named Lindsay Babbitt, was brutally gunned down by a D.C. policeman for trying to enter the Congressional House chambers. As of this writing, the general public does not yet know much about her, but when we do, she will be a folk hero and a martyr for liberty. Whoever assumes the presidency in the near future, whether it be Joe Frauden or Donald Trump, after today's events, the transition to the next administration can no longer be said to be peaceful. And who knows what will happen in the period between now and January 20, the day of the inauguration. First of all, why is this true? And secondly, why is it important? Well, first of all, why is this true? Well, the transition of power to the next administration can no longer be said to be peaceful because a D.C. cop murdered a Trump supporter. For weeks now, Trump supporters have anticipated descending upon the District of Criminals to show their support for President Trump during this largely ceremonial action of the Congress in counting and certifying the Electoral College vote. And they did. They did descend. Estimates range wildly from 200,000 to almost 1 million in the Capital Region. The stage was dramatically set because this normally perfunctory act turned out to be potentially the last opportunity for the deep state to have a resurrection of conscience and acknowledge the documented overwhelming voter fraud concentrated but not limited to six swing states this past November 3rd. For example, dozens of sworn affidavits from poll workers in all of those states, that's Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Arizona, and Nevada, gave testimony of egregious irregularities in numbers great enough to determine the election. We have security videotape as well of Georgia poll worker Ruby Freeman disgorging suitcases of counterfeit ballots, all for Joe Biden, and running them through the counters multiple times late at night when the counting was supposed to have been stopped. And then, having been trained at Democrat seminars months before, we now know Democrat poll workers bullied Republican poll workers and kept them 30, 60, even 100 feet from the counting process as ballots without matching signatures, ballots in unfolded pristine condition that were counted after coming in sequential order. What are the odds of that? And unverified ballots from drop boxes all over the city went zipping through the counter. And some Republican poll watchers were even thrown out of the counting process altogether. in several crucial counties, for example, Wayne County in Detroit, Michigan, or Fulton County in Atlanta, Georgia, or Philadelphia County in Pennsylvania, there were tens of thousands of more votes cast than there are voters in the entire county. And, of course, in Pennsylvania, the Secretary of State and the courts approved the counting of votes postmarked and received as many as 3 days following the election, when the Pennsylvania Constitution specifically states that only votes postmarked to the day of the election can be counted. That is a clear violation of constitutional order. And then, of course, the Trump team has evidence of the Dominion voting machine system, which was founded in Venezuela by Hugo Chavez so that he could be assured that he would never lose another election. Well, the Dominion voting machine system was caught in fractional counting, where Trump votes count as one half vote and a Biden vote counts as 1.5 votes. That's the basic principle behind fractional voting, and actual bold-faced vote switching by preset algorithms in the Dominion voting machine system. Well, dear listener, this is only a brief sample of the clear evidence of voter fraud, which had to be done on a massive scale in order to overcome the otherwise landslide victory of President Trump. And if you are still one of those who is repeating the vacuous mantra, "There's no evidence of voter fraud," well, then I suggest that you remain a naive, brainwashed Pollyanna for whom, for example, the kid with his hand in the cookie jar, his face smeared with chocolate, crumbs falling from his mouth, says, "I didn't take the cookies." That's a credible testimony for you. What has compounded this egregious, in-your-face fraud, dear listener, is the utter, complete inability and unwillingness of the Republic's fail-safe systems to address and correct it. The American people are not as blind and bovine as the deep state lackeys contemptuously presume us to be. Do they think that we will take this sitting down? For example, the failure of the system. State legislatures refused to do anything more than empty pro forma investigations into the allegations. Many of them were fearful of what the response of Antifa or Black Lives Matter would be if the count was reversed. The president of the Georgia House, for example, said Atlanta will burn if fraud was significant enough to reverse the election. Oh, so much for doing the right thing. You're on the wrong side of history, Mr. President of the Georgia House. Also, state governors and secretaries of state refused to investigate fraud more than superficially, but went ahead and certified the fraud. And state courts as well. The courts consistently refused to take up appeals or suits, though evidence abounded. And of course, famously, the Supreme Court of the United States denied suits brought by complainants withstanding, like the Texas suit, which Chief Justice John Roberts refused to take up because, unlike Gore v. Bush in 2000, which the court did decide, as Roberts so cowardly said, there weren't riots in the streets back then, unquote, referring to Antifa and BLM. You coward. Your place in history is cemented, Mr. Coward. Chief Justice John Roberts, and almost all politicians across the spectrum refused to risk anything and call it what it was, fraud on so massive a scale that we deserve our slavery if we let it pass. The sycophantic, jellyfish spine, rhino Republicans are especially open to criticism here. Dear rhino Republicans across America, you have been identified as compromised hacks, not statesmen, except perhaps Ted Cruz. I'll give him an exception. And this indeed includes our entire Idaho delegation, from whom we have not heard a peep in defense of President Trump or against the fraud. In fact, they voted against receiving investigation into the fraud in Arizona, dear listener. Risch, Crapo, Simpson, what good are you at crunch time? What will you tell your grandchildren when they ask you, where were you, Grandpa, when we lost the Republic? Personally, I suspect that all of this systematic failure to address glaring fraud is colored by the deep state's antipathy and revulsion of Donald Trump. They want him gone. Even Republican support has been tepid at its best, barely bumping the needle at its highest. Trump's populist mission to drain the swamp always threatened to dry up the teat of the dragon from which deep state politicians have been sucking now for almost a century. Oh, I always warn the men at our church that it's money, sex, and power. Money, sex, and power, guys, are the temptations par excellence for our species, for our sex. The beast, the dragon, offers money, sex, and power to the swamp creatures in the district of criminals. They offer it as mother's milk. The beast, the dragon. You could almost hear her hiss, right? Come, have a sip at my teat, she hisses. Campaign contributions, sweetheart business deals, lavish trips all over the world. Come, have a sip at my teat, the dragon whispers. Beautiful women, or men, depending on your proclivity, who like nothing more than pleasing powerful men like you. Come, take a sip at my teat, the dragon hisses. A place at the table of power, perhaps a powerful chairmanship of a committee in the future, and perhaps a little, shall we say, help ballot-wise on election day, wink, wink, just as Biden found, and that to ensure that we see you back in the District of Criminals next term. Oh, the dragon offers this power to those who come to the District of Criminals. Washington, D.C. is the dragon lair of the beast who sucks you in by vanity, flattery, seduction, and preying skillfully on every weakness of human nature. And this in order that she might entrap you into a powerful web of control like Shelob the spider. And more often than not, such is the trap that a man is often compromised by an excess of his nature. I'm trying to be discreet here about sexual matters. A man is often compromised by an excess of his nature such that he can be easily blackmailed if he does not go along to get along. The message is, once you get there, once you get to the District of Criminals, you soon find out, play the game, and all of the goodness is yours. But wrong step, and we destroy you. And once more, no one has chronicled this in sometimes excruciating detail, like the books of author Peter Schweitzer. I recommend them all to you, but especially two. And they are, number one, Extortion: How Politicians Extract Your Money, Buy Votes, and Line Their Own Pockets. That subtitle says it all, doesn't it? The first book I recommend to you is Extortion, subtitle, How Politicians Extract Your Money, Buy Votes, and Line Their Own Pockets. And the second book by Peter Schweitzer that I would recommend to you is a book called Secret Empires. And the subtitle is How the American Political Class Hides Corruption and Enriches Family, unquote. Joe Biden, are you listening? Hunter Biden, are you listening? That's precisely what goes down. Secret Empires: How the American Political Class Hides Corruption and Enriches Family. Both of these books will give you the gory details. Well, dear listener, this stinking corruption knows no party lines either. Democrat, Republican, Independent, all are sucking at the teat of the dragon for her luxurious mother's milk. And by crusading to drain the swamp, Trump, could potentially disturb the dragon from her doting feed, and she would fly off and lead all of these little swamp creatures sucking air. And consequently, most everyone in the District of Criminals wants Trump gone. Everyone wants things to go back to the way they were, the status quo ante pre-Trump. However, dear listener, you and I, we know this to our toes. Patriots know this because Trump, if he's done nothing else, has exposed all this. We now know there is now going back, no going back. There is now no going back, you slimy, wishful thinking swamp creatures. Trump single-handedly has turned on the lights, and we have seen you for who you are, cockroaches scurrying for the darkness. Trump has drained the swamp just enough that he has revealed you for who you are. That is dragon spawn sucking at your mother's teat. And Trump has got your number, too. 666. You, in the District of Criminals, bear the mark of the beast. And apparently, I'm not the only patriot who knows these things. Yesterday, January 6, 2021, hundreds of thousands of fellow patriots descended on the swamp and even stormed the castle of Mordor, that is Congress, and briefly turned it back into the people's house again. Now there's some controversy about whether that was all quarterbacked by Antifa. There's been some facial recognition done on some of those participants, and they are Antifa. So indeed, Antifa may well have incited the invasion of the congressional building, but a lot of patriots followed him in. So we have to own this, dear patriot. We have to own this overwhelming of the congressional building on January 6th and do it proudly, I would suggest, because we briefly turned Congress, taken over by the spawn of the dragon, we briefly turned it back into the people's house again. The farcical count had to be stopped, didn't it? You remember? The chambers had to be evacuated when the D.C. cops radioed, "We've lost control." One patriot breached the Senate chambers. He mounted the leader's podium and declared, "Trump won the election." Members' offices were being ransacked, and even Nancy Baloney's laptop was confiscated. At once, and in fact, at one point, I understand, too, and this gives me no end of pleasure, I understand that congresspeople were ordered to lie on the floor and put on gas masks as police used tear gas to help clear the halls of Congress. Oh, I wish I'd been there just to see that. Many of the swamp rats were terrified. Oh, poor babies. They have been oppressing and betraying and terrifying us, the United States citizen, for too long from that Tower of Mordor, Congress. And it is time that the situation be reversed. Thomas Jefferson said famously, "When governments fear the people, there is liberty. When the people fear the government, there is tyranny." For too long, we, the people, have feared the government. And there has been tyranny. And there continues to be tyranny so long as we are afraid. But when we rise up like we did yesterday, and governments fear us, the people, then there will begin to be liberty. Oh, dear listener, yesterday there was no significant property damage, in stark contrast to Antifa and BLM riots this past summer all across some of the major cities of America. And the only loss of life was that of a patriot who bore a Trump banner, and she was shot by a trigger-happy D.C. cop who shot her through the glass door of the House chamber as she reached for the doorknob. Dear listener, who knows what the next few days and weeks will bring as Congress resumes its count and one or both candidates may be having an inauguration ceremony January 20. The transition, however, we can almost assuredly say will not be peaceful. All of this is important because our bragging right to a peaceful transition of power is gone. This is both sad and significant because, once accustomed to the sweet milk of power, no man gives it up willingly. Usually, it is force which either retains power for him or makes him give it up to another stronger than him. Herod the Great slew his own family, even his beloved wife Miriam, to hold on to power in his paranoia. Et tu, Brute, is legendary in the annals of cliché because Caesar's friend Brutus betrayed him for power. Benedict Arnold is notorious in American history as a traitor, owing to his envy and his bitterness and his desire for power that caused him to betray his country to the British. Well, dear listener, in the long, sad history of kings and kingdoms, it is, in the main, force of arms which has determined who will rule, either in succession or in retention of power. For much of history, dynastic succession has been employed, that is, where power is passed on to family members. This often proved more fruitful for the peace and welfare of a given kingdom. That is, until, of course, the family members began to fight amongst themselves and vie for power. Then it was back to blood. The War of the Roses between the Plantagenets and the Lancasters versus the House of York in the 15th century, that went on for over 32 years. And that is Exhibit A. Are we going back to blood in a primitive state here in America? This heritage of blood began to change, however, with the advent of a written constitution that vested power in the people rather than a tribe or a race or a dynastic family. That objective written document provided for an orderly transfer of power between administrations, and it was based upon the will of the people, as expressed in fair elections, where each citizen shared a franchise of power in his vote, and that vote became a sacred trust in the growing republic. Oh, and that first peaceful transfer of power occurred in the morning hours of March 4, 1801, when then-President John Adams quietly left Washington, D.C. under the cover of darkness. He refused to attend the inauguration of newly elected Thomas Jefferson. It had been a bitter and wrenching campaign between two former friends who were now estranged, but the transfer of power was peaceful. And so it has transpired ever since, as long as the franchise was held in sacred trust. That is the key, dear listener. When the sovereign of government under our Charter of Liberty, that charter being the Constitution, when that sovereign, the people, has its power subverted, then we have the right to remove our consent to be governed by those we ostensibly elect to represent us. Oh, I cover this in great detail in last week's message, and I refer you to it. The whole collective power of the people is delegated in trust to the citizen eligible to share in it via his individual vote. To compromise or steal or nullify that vote is to directly rob him of his sovereign power. That is essentially what has happened November 3rd. Corrupt, cynical, deep state politicians, jealous of their delegated power, desirous of making it permanent and original with them, committed voter fraud on such a massive scale as to dare us to do something about it. It was a bitch slap to the face. It was a double dare to knock the chip off of our shoulder, off of their shoulder, excuse me. Deep state lackeys, dear deep state lackeys, dear spawn of the dragon, dear cockroaches of the swamp, we the people accept your dare. We the people will break the jaw of anyone who bitch slaps us. We knocked the chip off your shoulder yesterday, and we are ready for a fight. You leave us no other option. You have broken trust with us, the American people. You have profaned the sacred trust vested in the franchise of power, our vote. No one knows quite who fired the first shot of the Revolutionary War at Lexington and Concord. Was it Patriot or Redcoat? But that opening shot was called the shot heard round the world because it heralded the beginning of the American Republic. We do know, however, who fired the first shot yesterday. It was a cowardly, trigger-happy D.C. cop. The deep state will probably hide his name from us and secretly reward him for his perfidy. But it, too, may become another shot heard round the world. Dear listener, only this will be a revolution against not a single outside empire like the British Empire of the 18th century, but this revolution will be one against a deep state tyranny that has gradually gotten its fingers around our throat. And it's done so in league with and under the direction of worldwide forces, including the Communist Chinese Party. That will be detailed in the future. They did indeed, however, the Communist Chinese Party has helped quarterback the election fraud. And that will be revealed in the near future as well. And I will be treating this in greater detail in my next broadcast. And that will be the Great Reset. There is a Great Reset the world is attempting to undergo. But we, the last line of defense, the American people, must stand against it. And I'll be treating this in greater detail in weeks to come. The Great Reset. What is it? And why does it pose a threat? This has been Pastor David Bass at New Geneva Orthodox Presbyterian Church. And we invite you to join us for holy worship on Sundays. We are not a part of the deep state tyranny. We have liberated ourselves from it. And we invite you, indeed, to join us for holy worship on Sunday morning. That is indeed liberating at 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings at 101 4th Street on the corner of 4th and Boulevard. And you can call us for more information or some feedback, perhaps, at area code 208-523-0196. Worship, 10 a.m., Sundays, 101 4th Street on the corner of 4th and Boulevard. More information at 208-523-0196.